up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from 2 Samuel. Now when David the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up my people, the people of Israel, from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 89 responsively. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. For I am persuaded that you're steadfast. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn on an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations.
You spoke once in a vision and said to your faithful people, I have set the crown upon a warrior and have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. My hand will hold him fast and my arm will make him strong. No enemy shall deceive him, nor shall the wicked bring him down. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and steadfast love are with him, and he shall be victorious. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He will say to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel left her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, there was a lot of yes going on today. We started with the baptism, and I asked Colin and Jillian if they wanted their child to be baptized, and they said, "Yes, we want our Kate to be baptized." And then we all said yes for her. She wasn't saying yes. We said yes for her. And then we renewed our own yes in our profession of faith. And then Kate was baptized. What a great note on which to end our Advent season. The gospel tells us of another yes, a yes from Mary. But even before she said yes, there was a blessing. She was blessed. Did you notice that? She isn't blessed because she says yes. She's blessed because she is. The yes comes after the blessing. The angel starts, "Greetings, favored one. Favored one, the Lord is with you." Not only does this show us what an important role Mary plays in the gospel story, but it also shows us a core belief in what it means to live in the Christian life today. So let's look at Mary first. Even in the Protestant church, Mary is hailed as a model of faith because of her acceptance of the role that God invites her to play as the mother of Jesus. Mary is honored. She is held up as a model for Christians because she trusted in God's promises. Throughout the whole Gospel of Luke, we see that a mark of discipleship is a willingness to trust and to believe in the promises of God. Remember Elizabeth. We heard about her today. When the angel comes to Elizabeth and tells her that she, in her old age, will bear a child, and she says, "Yes, I believe that." The disciples believe and trust that they will become fishers of people, and they say, "Yes, I believe that." The repentant thief on the cross next to Jesus believes that innocence belongs to Jesus, and he asks for his blessing. And those are just a couple examples. All through the Gospel of Luke, we see people who are held up as examples for us of what it means to be a disciple, and it all hinges on that willingness to believe, to trust in the promises that God has made. And today's gospel story reminds us that Mary also believed in God's promises. But what is it exactly that Mary believes? Of course, she believes the announcement from Gabriel that she will bear a son. But even before that, she believes that God notices her, favors her, that God has blessed her and has great plans for her. And that points to the core belief, not only in the gospel, but in Christian life for us. The first thing, maybe the most important thing, is that we are called to believe that God similarly notices us, that God favors us, that God blesses us. And once we believe that, once we believe that we are favored and noticed and loved and blessed by God, we can say yes to that. And because of that, yes, we can do incredible things. Blessing is a powerful thing. But we live in a world where blessing is a rare thing. Our world is more geared toward rewards and punishments. We've been conditioned to expect people will give us what we deserve, what we earn. But blessing operates on a different logic. Blessing is never deserved. It's always a gift. It's always grace. Blessing intrudes into our lives. It interrupts and disrupts us and disrupts that quid pro quo kind of world to announce to us that someone sees us as worthy and special, not because of anything that we've done or anything that we're doing, but just because. Blessing is a gift. It's grace. Maybe because it's so rare, blessings are also hard to believe. We see that in the story with Mary. It says that she was perplexed by the angel's announcement that she was favored by God. She wondered, what have I done? Why should I get this blessing? How come God is noticing me? But that's just what a blessing is. It's unmerited. It's undeserved notice and favor. And then as the blessing sinks in for Mary, she's able to open herself to the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will use her and bless the whole world through her willingness to bear a son and name him Jesus. But even before she says yes, she is blessed. I think that a lot of us have a hard time believing that God really does favor us, that God notices us. Now, I'm not talking about Sunday morning. We know God knows that we're in church. That's a given. We know that God hears our prayers and delights in our worship and in our praise. But it's the rest of the week. I wonder myself, does God notice me, let alone favor me, in the rest of my week? We wonder, does God really care about my mundane life? Are we worth God's attention on Monday through Saturday? And then we hear this gospel story about God. Just wiggle that little, the middle one, Doris. It won't shock you. The middle one, yep. Just push it in and out. Now, that's the first one. The middle one. Yeah. All right. Yes, you do. See? You can put your mind to it. So we come up and hear today this gospel story about God noticing someone who, at least in first century Palestine, is considered a nobody. A young, unmarried female, a nobody, with no social status at all, receives God's blessing and accepts God's favor. And through her, God's promise is beginning to be fulfilled. The world begins to change. And if God can notice and favor a nobody in the first century, what is God looking at when God looks at you? God favors us. God notices us. God blesses us. We pay attention to Mary, not because she's an exception, but because she is an example. Mary is an example of what can happen when we believe that God notices and favors and blesses. Believing God's blessing is the beginning. God's blessings are being fulfilled through you. Nothing is impossible for God. Working in your life, working through you, blessing you, giving you favor, giving you his notice. Before Mary was blessed, before Mary said yes, she was blessed. And you too are blessed by God to be a blessing for the world. You are blessed today by Kate's baptism, by your prayer, by your participation, by your showing up. You are highly regarded by God. You are God's favored ones. You are called to hear and to believe and to respond to God's blessing. Not just here on Sunday, but even more importantly, everywhere else, every day else in your life. In all your circumstances, God is noticing you and blessing you so that you might be a blessing to others. There's a lot of voices in our world that conspire to make us feel like nobodies. But that is not the truth. The truth is that God has noticed you, favored, and blessed you, so that you in turn might be able to bless others and even to change the world. So hear again this good news. This time, hear it addressed to you, not to Mary. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you and has plans to do great things through you. Now, you might think, how can this be? But listen, whether you're at work or running errands, whether you're at home or anywhere else in the world, the Holy Spirit is with you and will guide you in all that you do so that you would be a blessing to the world. And you answer, yes, let it be done to me according to God's word. Amen.